Preach, say amen. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria that same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" He said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So the king of Israel went, the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. I'm going to ask you to help me read, would you? Verse 10. Let's read this together. "And the king of Israel said, Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Continue. "But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him." Verse 13. "And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel," or a musician. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, Make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, You shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet the valley," everybody say, "yet the valley. Yet this valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And you shall smite every fenced city and every choice city and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom. And the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side. It was as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil." And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kirathsheth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. And just for a little while this evening, I want to preach to you along the lines of the next dimension of salvation. The next dimension of salvation. I wonder if you'd put your Bibles down. Would you reach up to heaven? Ask the Lord to speak to you tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing that is here. We thank you, God, for this wonderful service so far. God, I pray for your people tonight, Lord. We're here. We're in need of hearing a word from heaven. God, I pray that you would use me and anoint me, God, as a mouthpiece tonight, Lord, that I might speak words into the lives of your wonderful people. We ask it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you glory and we give you praise. And let all the people say amen. Why don't you give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This third chapter of 2 Kings is a story of Jehoram, who was king of the northern kingdom of Israel. He reigned during the divided kingdom. His contemporary, the king of the southern tribes, was Jehoshaphat. Now, the Bible tells us that Jehoram was an evil king. He was, in fact, the son of that infamous King Ahab, who was notorious for his very wicked reign. And after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rose up in rebellion and rose up against Jehoram. And so he decided to deal with this rebellion. And that's really where we picked up in our scripture reading tonight. Three kings, three armies, on their way to really what was a sure victory. And they decide to compass the enemy by going 7 days out of their way in an attempt to come upon them with a sneak attack. And this created a couple of problems. Problem number one was that in this 7-day journey, there was no water. No water, the Bible says, for the host, and no water, the Bible says, for the cattle. And no water equals dehydration, and dehydration, of course, equals no strength. And eventually, if you have no strength and you're there as an army, eventually it's going to mean ultimate death. And so no strength means they are sitting ducks for the enemy. That's problem number one. But problem number two is the Moabites. Here they are, God's people, this confederate of armies. Here they are, and the Moabites, if they find out that we are here with no strength, no water, no food, here we are, we're just sitting ducks, and this dismal reality begins to sink in and occur to Jehoram, and a sense of hopelessness begins to set in, and he declares, "The Lord has called these three of us together to deliver us into the hand of Moab." Now, you may not want to admit it tonight, and I won't encourage you to, but there have been times when you have probably felt like the Lord has brought you to a particular point just to allow you to be swallowed up by the enemy. But make no mistake about it, my God, your God, has no interest in his people ever being devoured. And I just want to tell you, if he allowed you to get into a mess, he didn't put you in the mess, but if he allowed you to get into a mess, my Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, it doesn't matter what mess you are in, it doesn't matter what predicament you are in, it doesn't matter even if God's judgment is being poured out on you, I've got a contingency in the Word of God. And my Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you may be facing, but I know the answer. Just bow on your knees, fall on your face, and begin to call out to your God. Oh, come on, and somebody shout amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll just preach to the devil for a minute and tell the devil, devil, you better watch out. For even if I've gotten myself in a mess, and even if God's people get themselves in a mess, you better watch out, even if you see me fall to the ground, because if I fall, I'm going to fall on my knees. If I fall, I'm going to fall on my face. And when I get there, my Bible tells me, if I call upon my God, he'll hear my prayer. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. If I call on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And it was Jehoshaphat who said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Hey, we feel hopeless. We feel destitute here. We feel like we're sitting ducks. But wait a minute. Maybe we need to get a word from the Lord. Maybe we ought to find out where God is in all of this stuff. Somebody said, well, there's Elisha. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the three kings went down to Elisha. And there we get to verse 13 in our reading, when he said to the people, thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, but you're going to make this valley full of ditches. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water. Hey, man of God, we're in trouble. Hey, man of God, we don't know where to turn. We know if we call on the Lord, he said he wouldn't leave us. We know if we call on the Lord, he's not going to forsake us. We know that we've got a promise through our father Abraham that he's going to bless those that bless that we bless. If they bless us, they'll bless them. But he also said he's going to keep us, and we're not going to be wiped out from the earth. And so we know we've got that promise, but we need somebody to give us a word. And the man of God said, look, God doesn't want to destroy you. God wants to save you, but you've got to get up and start doing something here. And he told them to do what maybe apparently seemed like a senseless act, which was in this dry valley to get something, whatever, swords or shovels or whatever they had, and just start digging. I will tell you that there are times that the word of the Lord will tell you to do things that at the time doesn't make sense, might seem like a wasted effort, but God knows what God's up to. I've learned a long time ago, don't try to tell God how to do God's business. God knows what he's doing. If he tells you to dig a ditch in a dry old valley where no water is, you better get your shovel out. You better get your sword out. You better start poking around in that dead, dry ground, because when God is up to something, we better be up to something. When God begins to move, it's time for God's people to begin to move. Come on, somebody, shout amen. Somebody shout to the Lord. I'm telling you, God is up to something. He's got a plan. He's got an idea. And when God gets an idea, oh, you ought to watch out when God gets an idea. Stop bringing your ideas to God and just start asking God, what's your idea? Because your ideas are small. Your ideas don't amount to much. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think. If you can imagine it, it's too small. If you can think it, it's too small. If you can articulate it with your mouth. Come on, somebody. I said, it's too small. But not God. Here's what I want you to do. But God, what do you want to do? What have you got in mind? What do you say about this situation? You try that and watch God move. You try just turning it over to the Lord and watch God move. I'm telling you, when you bring God your plans, you're thinking too small. It's not that you're necessarily wrong. You're thinking too small. And I learned a long time ago, too, not to argue with God. It's wasted time. It's time you could be digging. And I found out the bigger ditch I dig, when he sends the water, the more water I get. And I waste time arguing with God when I could be digging. And I waste time pouting and frustrated and aggravated when I should be just getting a word from God and going with the word. Don't wait till you see the water coming. Just dig. Come on, somebody. Don't wait till the promise. Don't wait till you see the fulfillment of the promise. Just go with the promise. Go ahead and fall on your face before God and say, God, I don't understand it all, but if you give me a word, if you give me some direction, I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll dig where you tell me to dig. I'll speak when you tell me to speak. I'll walk where you tell me to walk. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And you watch God. You watch God come through every single time. Every single time. And we get to verse 17. And he says, you shall not see wind. You're not going to see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts. And I got to tell you, right there is where I think I would start dancing a jig and shouting and leaping, because I thought I was going to die of dehydration. I thought my cattle and my horses, my army was going to die, Brother Worthen, of dehydration. And the man of God says, all you've got to do is dig some ditches, and you're not going to see the storm, but you're going to see the water, and God is going to see you through. And we stop there and we rejoice. But don't dance too long, because I'm telling you, that's not where the story ends. Thank God for a 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 17 experience. But don't stop in 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 17 experience. Don't stop there. Because part one, everybody say part one. Part one of the miracle was salvation. No water means death. But part two of the miracle is in verse 18 when he says, don't shout too much about that, because this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Part one of the miracle is salvation, but part two of the miracle is victory. Part one of the miracle is salvation, but part two of the miracle is deliverance. Part one of the miracle is, oh, thank God I was on my way to hell, but he saved me from going to hell. But part two of the miracle is, even while I'm still here in this world, I can live in victory. I can have my body healed. I can get a job. I can have a blessed marriage. I can have kids that serve God. I can serve God with gladness. I can enjoy the joy of the Lord and know it as my strength. I can have peace that passes understanding. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God for salvation, but thank God for victory. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God that he keeps me walking every single day. I'm talking about the next dimension of your salvation. See, if you're not very careful, you will become so excited over the first part of the miracle that you will completely miss the point. God says, I'm not saving you from dehydration so that 3 hours from now, after you get full of water, you can go out there and be destroyed by the enemy's sword. I didn't send water so you can be a well-hydrated corpse. I'm not miraculously sending you water so you can guzzle it down and then go out and be defeated by the enemy. I'm sending water so you can be saved from your immediate peril. Now you can get up, take up your sword, get on your horse, march into enemy territory. Oh, let me say it this way. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's part one of the miracle. Then he said, oh, here's part two. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I came to preach and tell you, you've got victory. You've got victory, and you can walk in it, and you can live in it, and you can pray in it, and you can serve God in it. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be depressed. Listen to me. We can build a shrine to Acts 2:38 and rejoice for repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's all well and good, but we don't have Acts 2:38 just so we can build the shrine and stop there and rejoice every single day just because I got the Holy Ghost 50 years ago. You see, it is possible to be saved from your sins and never go on to enjoy victory in your life. And right there, I think, is the threat to the apostolic church, that we would become so enamored with Acts 2:38 that we would stop and build this monumental shrine, that we would shout and sing and preach and write books and write songs, and we should do all of that. Don't get me wrong, but we can do all of that and never go on to victory. Hear me when I tell you, I believe Acts 2:38. You know I do. I believe it's what it takes to go to heaven. I believe it's what it takes. You've got to be born again. Jesus said it. Peter preached it. I think we should shout. I think we should sing it. I think we should preach. I think we should write books. I think we should teach it in Sunday school, but not to the exclusion of marching on into the many victories that lie beyond that initial experience with God. I believe that once he got a hold of your tongue and you spoke in other tongues, you ought to go ahead and let him keep a hold of your tongue and quit lying. I think once you Let him get a hold of your tongue and you speak in other tongues. You ought to let him stay hold of that tongue and you quit gossiping. You quit tale-bearing. Oh, hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost. Bless God. I spoke in other tongues 30 years ago. Yeah, but you're still gossiping in 2017. I'm saying there's another dimension to your salvation. Thank God he saved you and you're born again. But you can walk in victory and all your enemies can be defeated. That's what I'm preaching to you about tonight. That's what I'm telling you tonight. You can stop being negative. You can stop spreading rumors. You can stop cussing. You can stop sassing. You can stop talking negative. That's all I'm saying. Just don't let him just save you. Let him give you the victory. Amen. After the Holy Ghost, you can get victory in your family. Amen. You can have victory in your marriage. I'm sorry, I don't believe God's people should have lousy marriages on the brink of divorce. Can't trust each other, don't love each other. But I got the Holy Ghost. You're going to heaven with her. Or you're supposed to be. Amen. I don't believe we have to have messed up homes and family lives in the church. Praise the Lord. I believe Acts 2:38. Baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. That's wonderful. We'll shout with you. But your family's a mess. And God says, you don't have to live that way. There's another dimension to your salvation. Oh, this is good preaching. This is good preaching. Not because I'm preaching. It's just word. It's just the word. Hebrews 6:1, Paul says it this way. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean walk away from them? No. He means once you've got a hold of that, now you continue and you mature into more. Everybody say more. So you get a hold of that, now you move on. And let us go on unto perfection. Don't stay in the shallow water. Move out into the deep. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, don't just hang out at the gate where you came in. Move on into this thing. Hallelujah. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. In other words, he says, grow up. You've grasped the initial entry level principles, but now move on from the milk. Move on to the meat. I won't take the time to read it, but you know the story well in John chapter 11 where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. What a great miracle. Speaks into the tomb of a man who's been dead, laid in the grave for 4 days. Speaks into that grave to the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was dead, came forth. Your Bible says that he came forth bound in grave clothes. That's what the Bible says. Now let me tell you something about grave clothes. Grave clothes, they weren't like today. We bury people in regular clothes today. We get their finest suit or whatever and put it on them. But in Bible days, grave clothes were just designed for the dead. They do what they could to purify the body and preserve the body, whatever they could do. But then they would just wrap it in linens and wrap it up and best they could. Put it in the grave and there it would stay. But it was wrapped up and bound up, and then over the face would be what they call the death napkin. None of these clothes were designed for living people. They weren't made for moving. They weren't made for freedom. They weren't made for comfort by any means. And the death napkin was not made for breathing, because who it was designed for, they're not breathing anymore. Now think about this. they're okay for a dead man. But Lazarus isn't dead anymore. The moment that Jesus spoke into that tomb, the dead came to life. Everybody say part one. That's part one of the miracle. Comes walking out. Thank God for part one. Thank God. Aren't you glad for part one? Remember that day you went to the altar? Whew, man, dead man walking to the altar. Grave clothes. I don't know what all you are bound with, but I know what some people are bound with. Tobacco and nicotine and drugs and alcohol, lying, gossiping, bitterness, hate, envy. Maybe they steal. Maybe whatever. Cheaters. They come to the Lord bound up in grave clothes. And that's okay as long as you're dead. But aren't you glad for that night you bowed at an altar and repented of your sins? Aren't you glad when you got in the water and you... preacher put you under in Jesus' name and something happened in that water. Your sins were washed away. Aren't you glad for that day, that night when you were praying and worshiping God? And all of a sudden you were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Didn't that feel great? I don't know what it must have felt like for Lazarus to hop up off of that slab in that tomb, best he could, in his grave clothes, come out. But he's a live man in dead grave clothes, and that's where you were. When you spoke in tongues, when you got born again, you took that first breath in the kingdom of God, you were in grave clothes. That's why Jesus spun around on all the spectators, all the people that had put him in the grave and said, "Now, I raised him from the dead. You loose him. Let him go." I like that. Didn't have to say loose him and tell him to go, because when you're dead, now you're alive, just loose me. I'll go. Just get me out of these clothes. I'm going. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to go sing. I'm going to get me a bus. I'm going to do revivals. I'm going to do something, but you don't have to tell me to go. Just turn me loose. Let me, get me out of these grave clothes so I can walk, so I can run, so I can leap. You don't have to preach to me to leap. If you get me out of the grave clothes, I'll leap. You don't have to tell me to run. If you get me out of these grave clothes, I'll run with the best of them. I'll worship with the best of them, but got to help me get out of these grave clothes, because I can't move in these things. I have no liberty in these things. I need some victory. See? Oh, thank God for part one. But don't walk out on part one. Hallelujah. Don't get to Acts 2:38. Stop reading your Bible. Go on in there to Romans. Go check out the Corinthian letters. Check out Galatians and Hebrews, the letters to the Thessalonians. Check out those pastoral epistles to Timothy and Titus. See what Jude says and see what Peter says. Check out those books of John. See what the epistles say to people that have come out of the tomb. And now we need to know how to walk, because now we're not dead anymore. And those epistles will tell you how to get out of your grave clothes, see? If you're addicted to nicotine, you don't stay addicted to nicotine. If you cuss, you don't keep on cussing. If you lie, you don't keep on lying. Come on now. That's part two, this next dimension of salvation. Loose him and let him go. Wow. See, grave clothes will kill you. It didn't matter in the grave. You were dead anyway. You didn't know any better in the grave. You're just dead. But there's something, and you're going to relate to what I'm getting ready to say. There's something, I don't know if this is the right word, but I'm going to use it. It just kind of gnaws at you once you've been raised. And you keep living like you're dead. There's just something that'll begin to gnaw at you. You go trying to talk like you did when you were in the grave. Something will gnaw at you. You know what I'm talking about? What are you doing talking that way? What are you doing telling another lie? What is that? What is that that gnaws at you? Well, it's just good old-fashioned conviction of the Holy Ghost. And you give the Holy Ghost room in your life, and it'll lead you and guide you into all truth. You start shedding some of those grave clothes. You start coming out of that, some of that junk that you were okay with when you were dead, but you can't be okay with. Is this all right? You can't be okay with that stuff once you come out of the grave. There's going to be a change, or you're going to see Lazarus would have quickly died all over again. All he had to do was stay in the grave clothes. Can't eat in those. Can't be fed in those. You can't breathe in those. You can't walk where you need to go in those. So you got to come out of those. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And there's the second dimension of your salvation. It's walking in freedom, walking in liberty, walking in deliverance, walking in healing, walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not dead, and don't expect me to act dead. Come on, I was in the grave, but don't expect me to act like I still live in a grave. See, once you've come out, the grave clothes will drive you crazy. Every time you puff it, drink it, say it, watch it, snort it, shoot it, every time you go there, every time you do it, it will drive you crazy. Because grave clothes aren't designed for living people. And it will eventually kill you. What's going on when we put on that junk, bring it into our life? Our spiritual man who desperately wants to live is screaming out for breath, screaming out for air. Oh, your soul will say to you, Brother Barrow, Rob, don't put that over my face. I gotta breathe. Your spiritual man, your carnal man will drown out your spiritual man. Carnal man likes the grave clothes, but the spiritual man says things like, oh no, there's a rapture coming. We can't breathe in this stuff. We can't talk that way and breathe. We can't wear that stuff and breathe. We can't go to those places and breathe. We can't do that stuff and breathe. No, get that off of me. I've got to breathe. The spirit cries out for spiritual things. Why don't you stay on your feet? Music come. The second part of your salvation. Oh, I love to baptize people in Jesus' name, and I love to see people receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, a pastor's heartbeat. Oh, a pastor's heartbeat gets faster when a week later they're still here. Come on. And 6 months later, I'm going to tell you one of the most precious things that a Pentecostal pastor likes to see is when some of these ladies come into the church and they don't know, they don't understand about the Bible teaches about the hair being her glory and not to cut off the glory. They don't understand that, but they get into the church and the Holy Ghost starts leading them and they start getting a little scripture. I love it when they get just enough hair to pull it up in one of those buns just because they want to try. You know what I'm saying? There ain't much there, but they're just, and those Pentecostal buns, you used to wear them. My mom used to do those updos. I've seen hundreds of women as I was a little bitty kid, magically hair stacked up on top of their head, you know. But I don't care. However you decide to arrange it, that's not the point. The point is a pastor gets excited when he sees somebody who's been saved and they're coming out of the grave clothes. They're starting to get some of these concepts. They don't talk like they used to talk. They're not wearing the same stuff. They understand, oh, wait, this is not pleasing to God. I need to dress modestly. This is not pleasing to God. I need to respect the gender separate. This is, and men will come out of their ways and stop doing this and stop doing that. And there's just something about it when a year later they're walking in liberty, freedom. They're walking in that second dimension. Hallelujah. Did you know that that after Lazarus came forth from the grave, that there was a conspiracy? You know where I'm going? There was a conspiracy of men who wanted to kill Lazarus. Think about that one for a minute, would you? Oh, you were dead for 4 days and Jesus raised you from the dead? I think I'll try to kill you. If you're going to be a good murderer, go find somebody else. You know why the Bible says they wanted to kill Lazarus? Because the power of his testimony was bringing people to Jesus. This is awesome. Not very many people want to go to your church with you or come to your Jesus with you just because you tell them, I got baptized. Or just because you tell them, I got the Holy Ghost. They might congratulate you and they might be kind and they might say, that's wonderful. But that's not what compels them. But it's a week later when on the job they notice something different about that man. He don't talk the way he used to talk. He'd not been showing up at the bar after work. Something different about that woman. She don't walk the way she used to walk. She don't act the way she used to act. Something different about the way she carries herself. Something different in the way that man conducts himself. It's not about what you say. It's about your testimony. All Lazarus had to do was show up. And they saw a dead man walking. All Lazarus had to do was wake up in the morning, Brother Gunderman. And there's his testimony. See, you just show up. Some of you, all you got to do is show up and not have lost your mind. And you're a testimony. You kidding me? All the junk you've been going through, most people would ever have somebody say, most people would have lost their mind. Well, I'm not most people, see. I was dead, but I'm not dead anymore. I was dead and in the grave, but I'm not in the grave. Well, most people wouldn't put up with that. Oh, I'm not most people, see. I've got a testimony, and all Lazarus had to do was walk down the street, and he was a testimony. He was a walking billboard.
Amen.
For the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Singers, come. Let's have a little church around here. Aren't you thankful for their victory in Jesus? Aren't you glad you're not what you used to be? Hey, dig some ditches. You're going to get some water. Okay. Woo, I got water. Oh, no, that's not the main part. The main part is your enemies. God is going to deliver them into your hand. So here's what I'm telling you. If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized tonight in the name of Jesus. Dig that ditch. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you the Lord is here. The Holy Ghost is here, and you can. The Lord wants to give it to you tonight. You can receive it tonight. We're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord. All you've got to do, you can come up here to this altar and worship if you like. Worship where you are. I'm going to tell you how to receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I've been trying to get the Holy Ghost for a long time. Stop trying to get it. It's a gift. Just open your heart and receive it. Just worship God. Just sing. Just praise the Lord. And when you begin to feel tongues come, let it go. Whatever you need tonight, why don't we just rejoice a little bit tonight? Aren't you glad for the second dimension? I'm free. I'm delivered. I've got victory. Hallelujah.
Well, victory is mine.
Aren't you thankful?
Victory is mine.
Yeah,
victory today.
Oh, it's
is mine.
Yeah,
I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Yeah, come on now, say it.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Yeah.
Victory today.
Get thee behind. Yeah, we got victory.
Victory today is mine.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah,
victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory today.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we got victory in Jesus. I told Satan. Sing about joy. Come on, joy
is mine.
Yeah, joy is
mine.
Well,
joy today is mine.
Hallelujah.
on the devil's head. Come on, somebody ought to dance for joy. Leap for joy. Give God a praise. Devil tried to take you out. Here you are.
Victory.
Yeah, say victory now.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory.
I don't want you to get a victory march going.
Victory today, yeah.
I said, come on, young people. Why don't one of you get a victory march going? Why don't one of you get a victory march going? Yeah. Come on. Say victory, victory now. You just got to tell the old devil, get behind me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to sing about deliverance. Come on. Say deliverance. Deliverance is mine. Yeah, deliverance. Oh, you got more than one lap in you. Come on, young people. Get around this church. Get some victory in your life. Oh, my, my, my. Victory. Come on. Say victory. Say hallelujah. Victory. Hallelujah.
Victory today is mine.
Yes, it is. That I told Satan, get thee behind. Come on, I want to sing that again. Say victory. Oh, victory.
Victory is mine.
Hallelujah.
Victory is mine.
Yes.
Victory today is mine.
Praise the Lord.
I'm so sick.
Yeah.
Get thee behind.
Victory.
Victory today is mine.
Hey, if the Lord's ever healed your body, why don't you take a lap? Healing is mine. Come on, sing about it. Day healing. We call this a victory march. Some of you ought to march by faith. I may not have it yet, but I'm going to get it. Yeah. Oh, healing. Healing. Oh, we got to sing that again. Say healing, healing. Hallelujah. Come on, that's wonderful. Tell Satan, say, get behind me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, maybe you need deliverance tonight. Go say deliverance in the name of Jesus. I'm not going back to that. I'm going to walk in the next dimension of salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, get behind.
Get behind
me, Satan.
Deliverance today is mine.
Oh, let's sing about peace. Say
oh, peace.
Hallelujah. Yeah, peace.
Peace is mine.
Oh, peace.
Peace today is mine.
Thank God.
I told Satan, get thee behind.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is mine. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is mine. Well, the Holy Ghost today is mine.
I told Satan,
get behind. Oh, the
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. Victory, say
victory is mine.
Well,
victory. Victory today is mine.
Thank God, thank God, thank God.
I told Satan,
hallelujah.
Get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on, victory. victory. Say, victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
Oh, hallelujah.
I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on, I want you to just give the Lord praise in this place. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to clap. Somebody ought to dance. Somebody ought to leap for joy. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, just a little bit more. Somebody press on in. Praise the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. We give you glory. We magnify your name. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. We glorify you. We lift you up. Hallelujah. Come on and give him another hand clap of praise. Come on and make a joyful noise. Raise the roof in this place for a minute. Make some Holy Ghost noise. Come on, let go of something. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. Mm-hmm. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm not dead. Don't act like you're dead. If you act like you're dead, somebody might come pick you up. Come on now. A few weeks ago, I had some pains in my chest. I was having pains in my chest for a few days, and I thought it was muscular or something like that, but just to be safe, because it's kept on, I went into the ER just to make sure, rule out anything. And Brother Pace, I love him so much. He's my friend, and he found out I was there, and he called my wife, and I said, you tell him I'm going to be okay. Just to back off, you know. But he came in there and prayed with me and sat with me, and that was so kind. I appreciate that so much. But I'm just telling you, you don't want to act dead around the wrong people. Amen. You wake up in the wrong place. So here's what I feel like the Lord's been kind of talking to me a little bit about this. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm done for the day, okay? But when blind Bartimaeus, that I preached a little bit about this morning, when he was to attract Jesus, he cried out. He used his voice. And I understand there are shy people and not shy people, introverts and extroverts. I understand personalities. I get all of that. But you are raised, spiritually raised from the dead. Amen. So when you should not be ashamed, you should not be intimidated to open your mouth. Young people, I want you to hear me, okay? Listen, you ought to be the loudest bunch. You ought to be the loudest section in this church because you got more energy. You got more voice. You got more to offer right now. See, some of us, if we go, woo, that's all we can do for the night. Our voice is shot. But you can do woo all night long. So you ought to. But what happens, see, this is the way it works. It happens especially when you're young, but it happens to the rest of us too. This little thing called peer pressure. It's not that people are trying to get us to be quiet. We're just not sure if I were to shout, well, what would he think if I were to shout? Don't worry about what he would think. Because he's probably thinking, well, if I were to shout, what would he think? Don't worry about what he would think. Just give your praise to the Lord. When it's time to pray, when we have prayer service, don't just sit, bow your head. We're not Catholic. We're Pentecostal. We don't let the priest pray for us. We pray. We pray. We're God's people. So open your mouth. Come on, open your mouth. Get your voice and begin to pray. There ought to be prayers going up all over the building when it's time to pray. And when it's worship time, hey, young people, don't let the old people out worship you. Open your mouth and give the Lord a shout every once in a while. Just give him, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, old people, don't let the young people out worship. Every once in a while, you need to open your mouth. Come on and employ your voice and raise up a shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. praise the name of the Lord. Lazarus, are you in there? You know what he's saying? Get this death napkin off of me. And when they took the death napkin off, I just never have envisioned Lazarus saying, thank you so much. Oh, I'd like to sit down now and just rest a spell. Gather my thoughts. And they never heard another word out of him. I bet you there were times Jesus said, Lazarus, will you be quiet for just a minute? Because when you're dead and you get woke up from the dead and you can't talk and you get the death napkin off your face, you're going to shout. You're going to give God praise. You're going to sing every chance you get. You're going to raise your voice every chance. Come on. So I just absolutely, you'll have to pardon me. I can't act dead. I can't pretend that I'm dead. I've got to make a noise to the Lord. I've got to give him a shout. I've got to raise my voice to the Lord. I've got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, come on. Let the whole church make a joyful noise to the Lord. Use your voice. Shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. You're worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes that's all you got. In the midnight hour in the prison, Paul and Silas didn't have anything else. They were in chains, stocks. They were in behind bars. Couldn't run, couldn't leap, couldn't run around the church, couldn't do a victory march. What could they do? I got my voice, got my tongue, got my mouth. And the Bible says at the midnight hour they prayed. What do you want to do now? Let's have some songs. They prayed and they sang praises to the Lord in the prison at the midnight hour. And because they had made a joyful noise, the prison began to shake. And the bars began to open. And the chains let loose. Sometimes that's all you got, but sometimes that's all you need to get out of your predicament, to get out of your prison, to get out of your bondage. Sometimes that's all you've got, but sometimes that's all you need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to count to three. I want this whole church to raise the roof. Give God a shout. Give God praise. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, and raise your voice to the Lord. One, two, three. You. We magnify you. Yeah. Woo. Praise God. Praise God. Well, well, well.
Thank you, Lord. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy.
Get your dance shoes on. Dance a little bit before the Lord. I've been loose. I've been set free. Come on, move out into the aisles. Enjoy this Holy Ghost for just a minute. Come on, you can do it. Just do a little jig.
Yeah, I've been set free.
Hallelujah. It's all over me. Come on, one say, I've been loose.
I have been loose. Woo! I've been set free. What a beautiful moment.
One more time. I've been loose.
Joy of the loose.
Yeah, I've been
set free.
Yeah.
Part of me a moment why I haven't you
the I feel the joy. Make a joyful noise and clap our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Hey, take this home with you. Go to the restaurant. And when they say, how many? Two. Walk this way. Say, oh, I can't walk that way. I'm going to walk this way. I don't know. You might get kicked out. Take this joy with you. Maybe you go home and shout a little bit. Maybe you go home and the neighbors have to call the police. I don't know what's going on over there, that old woman over there shouting. There's something different about us. You know that, right? Brother Hawkins, I don't want any. They might think I'm weird. They already think you're weird. They might think I'm strange. Too late. You're a tongue talker. You're a holy roller. You're a one God apostolic tongue-talking holy roller, born again, heaven-bound believer. You're already strange to the world. Don't worry about that. Just enjoy this thing and watch. Watch people get attracted to what you have. Amen. God bless you. We love you. The prayer meeting tomorrow night is here, 7 o'clock, right here at our church. Come out and be a part of that. We love you. God bless you. Stay as long as you like. Brother Denver, good to have you tonight, brother. Love you. Good to have him home. Katie, is she here? Good to have you, Katie. God bless you. Shake hands, be friendly.